from WBRI 1500 in Indianapolis.
The Martin Bender Band Sheridan Show.
Hey Duke, what did you think of the mailbag lady? Did you think she has a crush on me, like Martin's suggesting?
He does.
What? he says he can't imagine anyone having a crush on me.
Yeah, I know, but only the mailbag.
All right,
she's worthy of the name. Thanks for joining us, folks. We come here every day to talk about the Word of God, and we have fun. Obviously, and we don't see any reason why learning cannot be an enjoyable experience. At least,
right. And if you don't like us, you would never say that if you actually met us.
No,
I mean, people hear us on the radio. You're bombastic. You're this. You're that. Listen, we're convicted of truth.
We're convicted of truth.
If you wanna not get angry, turn to another Christian station. Listen to a common radio preacher who wants to please everybody and teach no one. I mean, that's what you want. If you want that, fine. If you've run into somebody in your life where you don't disagree or get angry, let's put it this way. Husband and wives, you ever been upset with each other? If you haven't, then you're either ignoring each other or you're just, you know, you don't really love each other. It's just ridiculous.
Yeah.
And so if we rub you the wrong way, good. At least you're listening. Silence.
On that day, many will say to me, Lord, Lord, didn't we prophesy in your name?
Did you say prophecy?
Yes.
Okay.
Drive out demons.
Yes.
In your name. Do many miracles in your name. Let me ask you something, Dan.
Yeah.
Who today...
No
are
one.
Are working... No, wait a minute. Are attempting... attempting miracles in his name, driving out demons in his name, Jesus Christ.
It doesn't say attempting.
Yeah, it does say, yeah, drive out demons. You're right. Who is prophesying in his name today? Are we talking about...
No one.
Are we talking about... What's the context? Are we talking about Bushmen in the deepest Africa? Aborigine?
No.
Heathen in the outback of Australia?
Nobody today is doing this. I don't care what they say. There's no one prophesying today. There's no one doing what Matthew chapter 7 is doing.
I think it might be a figure of speech.
I don't think it is.
I think they claim to prophecy. But the main point I'm making...
Yes.
Desperately trying to make is that they're doing it in his name, and the only people today who do things in his name are Christians.
Yeah.
So our Lord is referring to Christians here, and he's going to say to Christians, depart from me, lawbreakers. And I contend to you that our writer here, Pistol Pete, is one of those lawbreakers.
Uh-oh.
He is breaking a cardinal law. As I read the next paragraph, his next point, he's breaking a cardinal law, and that is that Paul pronounced an anathema on it. Paul says, cursed be anyone who breaks this law, Galatians chapter 1, mixing a gospel of law with a gospel of grace, bastardized gospel.
Yeah.
And that is law-breaking.
True.
And it's done in his name. That's
I would
agree
with you thus far.
That's a shocking point here. What did you say yesterday?
By the way, I just read in the, you just made a comment, who this word prophesies as figurative speech. I may be wrong on that, because E. Bullinger in his marginal note says, act as a spokesman for God.
Act as a spokesman.
That's what he says in his margin, so you're right.
There are many people acting
However, the
as spokesman.
Context, though, of Matthew 7 is not today's Christians.
I disagree. On that day, it's not Jesus. It's not the day Jesus was speaking this, on the day he spoke this, on a Wednesday afternoon when he said this.
Yeah.
He wasn't speaking of those that were standing there.
What time was it?
It was, 3 o'clock p.m.
Okay.
He was not speaking to those. He was speaking to them, but he was not speaking of them. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven. But the one who does the will of my Father on that day, and I think that day he's speaking of is when he is about to come in glory, the days of indignation that
are still coming upon us. All right.
And there will be many in that day who will do miracles. And not even the Jews can be said to be doing miracles in his name. They don't do anything in the name of Jesus Christ. They don't even believe Jesus Christ is their
Savior.
Neither
do the miracle workers today, though. They're not doing any miracles. They're lying. They're faking it.
Nevertheless, well, I don't think he's saying that they're not false miracles. We know that Paul says, as in Janus and Jambres, the magicians who who replicated Moses' miracles in Egypt. Thus also, in these last days, there will be those who will duplicate miracles of the Lord. And is it the Second Thessalonians
talks about... Yeah, but they actually do them.
Well, right, but they're actually doing them, like false miracles. That's a phrase in Second Thessalonians. Help me with the context there.
The lying signs and wonders.
Lying signs and wonders with false miracles. Every seduction Paul speaks of. Mm-hmm. He's speaking of the apostasy that is future.
Yeah.
And I think this is somewhat linked here of our Lord talking about on that day. And we know that there's going to be many malignant spirits infecting the church, and they're here today. And the thing is false miracles. And they're doing these miracles. Didn't we do many miracles in your name? Doesn't say whether they're true or false. Right? But I think from the context, they have to be false, because why else would he say to them, I never knew you, depart from me, lawbreakers?
Well, how about Judas?
What about him?
He did all these things, and yet he was a devil.
Judas, what did he do? Did he prophesy?
He was sent out with the 12. He was sent out with the 70. He healed the sick, raised the dead, did all that stuff.
He did?
Of course he did. He was one of the 12.
Yeah.
That's the point. That's why I think that's referring specifically to these people that are part of this kingdom message. I think it's only Jewish people being referred to in Matthew 7.
Well, you know what? I think most Christians today are tied to the kingdom message.
I think there can be a parallel between this passage and what's going on today, but I don't think Matthew 7 personally is referring to anybody living today. It's referring to that, to a group of people connected with these things.
How can Jews do anything in his name?
Judas did stuff in his name.
Well, yeah, that's because they walked with Jesus at the time. But the Jews...
This is referring to Jews who believe in Christ.
Right, but subsequently...
He's not talking about Pharisees here. He's not talking about the Sadducees. He's talking about his own followers.
you just got a big smile on your face.
Because we're
really
arguing here. I love it. I love disagreeing with you.
Yeah, I know. I know it's great.
I want to have the ascendancy over you. I want to whip you into submission. Now, you see, folks, he and I will argue with each other, but I don't think he's the devil, not just yet at least. Not like Pistol Pete thinks.
I heard you talking
Pistol
to somebody.
Pistol Pete don't like you at all.
I know that.
But I like you.
I appreciate that. But I heard you telling somebody on the phone that the beast of Revelation has now been identified, and you associated me with the beast of Revelation.
Well, then you know what? Then this whole passage, Matthew 7, is true then. You're
see?
Right.
Yeah. Yeah, you are the beast. That's right.
So that means they all follow you, these false prophets.
That's right.
So you are the devil. Pistol Pete's right.
Well, I'm glad we reached a conclusion.
Are we going to accomplish anything
we
on
are
this
accomplishing
radio show
much.
Today?
We are accomplishing much.
Okay, continue.
Now, this man says, this is lawbreakers. Now, watch what he does here. It's a sleight of hand, and this is something that our listeners need to avoid, and to avoid it, you need to be aware of it. And I thank God for this letter, because you can see it happening right here in front of your very ears. Here's his comment on Matthew 7:21. Pistol Pete says, Paul contends that no habitual lawbreakers will inherit the kingdom of God. I'm going to stop right there. Do you see what he just did there?
Yeah.
What? I'm testing you.
He ran to Paul.
He ran directly from our Lord to Paul as if...
And Paul is speaking about unbelievers.
Yeah, and Jesus is talking about those in the realm
of those are in the realm of faith. And by the way, and I think we probably both agree with this, Matthew 7, this passage here, he's not talking about the unsaved heathen.
Right.
This man is talking, this Pistol Pete, talking about unsaved heathen. In Matthew 7, these aren't heathen.
They're not heathen. They might be unsaved, but they're not heathen. They're
I
in
don't
the
know
realm.
About that. I think we read too much into the text. See, the problem is we read all these judgment passages, and we assume that everyone's unsaved. Look what God did in the Old Testament to the believers. He killed all those who came out of Egypt over the age of 20. These weren't unbelievers. Moses was one of them. God did severe things with those who believed in his, who were professors of him. Now, we say, well, they were professors, but they weren't really possessors, which is baloney. You can be an unbelieving believer. They didn't enter the promised land because of unbelief, but did they believe God? Did they put the blood on the door? Did they go through the Passover? Yes, they did. Moses, would we call Moses today an unbeliever?
But didn't the sons of Korah do all those things too, and what happened to them? The earth swallowed them
who
up.
Who says they were unbelievers, though?
Well,
the children of Korah must have been raised by daddy, and they wrote some of the best psalms there was. Korah and his group could have loved, they probably loved their job. They probably loved Jehovah. They probably loved their position, but one day they were filled with pride. How many believers do you know that start off right but end up bad?
Right, and we agree that in the gospel of grace, those who start out right, once saved, always saved.
I think once but saved, all king, saved, and all
no,
errors.
I'm not so sure about that. Well, let me ask
two
you
ways
this.
Of salvation.
Let me ask you this when you're done playing with your cell phone.
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay.
I'm just bored with you right now.
So. Yeah, I know. I'm going to try to get you back. Now, depart from me, you lawbreakers. When he says depart from me, where are they going? What flight are they taking out?
Depart from me?
Depart from me, you lawbreakers.
They're probably going to have to be marched out by the some kingdom policemen.
Kingdom policemen, and they will be go to the outer darkness?
Which is among the Gentiles.
Where there will be what going on there?
I think the weeping and gnashing teeth takes place the moment they're kicked out.
And I think with the weeping...
They're not outside for a thousand years weeping and gnashing of teeth.
I think that the weeping and gnashing of teeth, if you want to make a good living in the kingdom, you will be a Kleenex either a Kleenex salesman or a dentist.
It would be like showing up to a, you're late to a party, mm-hmm. you were invited, but you didn't show up on time.
Exactly.
So you can't watch, you have to stand outside and watch.
All right, so you're standing outside and watch, therefore you're not saved, you're not in that circle of the believers who will...
In that circle, yes.
Right,
but you
that's what I'm saying.
Yeah, right, I understand that.
All right, now this guy, he makes this jump to Paul here, and he says, do you not know that the adulterers, this is what I promised you yesterday, that we were going to talk about... homosexuals and adulterers and male prostitutes. That's not me talking, that's Paul. Do not be deceived. This is from 1 Corinthians 6:9, according to Pistol Pete's version, the Holy Cow, you got to be kidding me, Bible. Do not be deceived. No sexually immoral person, idolaters, adulterers, male prostitutes, homosexuals, thieves, greedy people, drunkards, revilers, or swindlers will inherit God's kingdom. 1 Corinthians 6:9-10. I don't know how many times people have come up to me with this verse and said that this proves that not everybody is going to be with God for eternity. All right? Now, this is, what do we do with this? I know what we do with it.
Very simple. Read the context.
Let's read it out of the Concordant Version, because it's really, surprisingly, not that much different in the Concordant Version. 1 Corinthians 6. Yeah, starting with... Verse 9, are you not aware, Paul says, that the unjust shall not be enjoying the allotment of God's kingdom?
Let's back
key
up.
Word
let me build into that. What was going on here in chapter 6? These believers in the church of Corinth were suing each other for monetary reasons, right?
Mm-hmm.
And they were here were believers
mm-hmm.
who possessed the name of Christ,
mm-hmm.
right? And here they are standing before unbelieving judges. Right? Probably Roman civil authorities who were judging at the time, right?
Mm-hmm.
And what did that say about Christ when these believers were standing before the Roman judge? They're just as covetous as everyone else. They're no different than we are, right?
Right.
That's what leads up to this, and I think we're going to have to pick this up tomorrow.
Yeah, we are. Yeah, we are, because there's a word in here, Dan. There's a word in a Concordant Version that is not in the Holy Cow, You Gotta Be Kidding Me Bible that Pistol Pete read. And I think that word will clarify this whole thing. So if you're an adulterer or a homosexual or a male prostitute, hang on.
And if you're Pistol Pete, hang on.
Yeah, we're gonna be with you tomorrow. We're not turning you off. We're not consigning you to the pits of hell. We are delivering you to the grace of God. I'm Martin Zender, and Mr. Sheridan and I will be back tomorrow, and we hope that you will be too.
Unless the pit swallows you up.